Good morning. I greet you in Christ's name this morning. It is good to be together. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, we come before you. Lord, thank you for this new day. Lord, thank you for the beautiful sunshine. Thank you for life and health. Lord, thank you for the freedom to gather and worship. Lord, I pray for others in other states and other countries who can't worship this morning, who have been asked not to gather. Lord, to gather. Lord, we're grateful that we as a body here at Sandy Ridge are able to gather. And I pray that as we meet here, Lord, that our time together would bring you honor and glory. Lord, I pray that this time would be a time of searching our hearts, of growing, of being encouraged in the Word. And I pray, Lord, that we would also enjoy the fellowship of one another. We invite your presence. Lord, I pray your blessing on this service in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for the songs that you led, Ryan. My faith has found a resting place. I have been, over the last month or two, continually drawn back to that and just grateful that we have a faith, that I have a faith and that I can rest in knowing that God is unchanging, that God is the same. He's still on the throne. He's still the same God he was 6 months ago, a year ago, when we thought everything was going well, and that God is still faithful. My faith has found a resting place. That is a picture of peace. This morning I'm going to continue preaching in Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to preach again on the brotherhood and what we have as a brotherhood here in the church and how we relate to one another. And that whole idea excites me because I think it's important as a brotherhood to have a bond with one another, to appreciate one another. And so we have more instructions in Romans of how that should look and how we should live that out. And so I'm excited to look at the scripture with you this morning and to see what God has for us. How am I doing? How are you doing? How are we doing as a church body here at Sandy Ridge? And even more than that, as a broader body of believers throughout. The title of the message is Lost, Saved, and Different Gifts. And I want to just repeat this. It is so important that we see our lostness and that we need a Savior. And it's only then and through that saving blood of Christ that we're able to live out true brotherhood. Because if that isn't the foundation, if we don't see ourselves as having been lost and having been saved, it's hard to live out brotherhood. It's hard to love one another. It's hard to relate well. It's hard to care for one another when I don't live out of a lost and a saved spirit and life. I'm going to read in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Please stand with me as we read this together. Hey, let's all read together. Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You may be seated. This passage gives us a list of different gifts that are found in the body. And this morning I'm not going to specifically go through those gifts and necessarily explain what each one is and how we should live them out and how they relate to one another and how you may possibly have a stronger gift or a secondary gift. We've done that in different classes here in church already, talked about the different gifts, spiritual gifts that we are given. But instead, I want to focus on maybe how we can encourage one another in our different gifts and how we can live out those gifts that God gives us. I want to look at three different things. I've titled the three different things, number one, acknowledge our different gifts, number two, appreciate our different gifts, and number three, applying our different gifts. As we look at Romans chapter 12, there is a list there, and so I want you to help me this morning. I want your interaction. So what are the different gifts that are listed in Romans chapter 12? What's the first one? Prophecy. What else? Ministry. Teaching. Giving. Exhortation. Mercy. Okay, good. So we have a list: prophecy, ministry or service, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling or leading, and then mercy. And maybe you look at those and you see yourself as having some things that maybe come more naturally for you. And so you look at that list and you say, well, yeah, I can see myself doing this. And maybe you see somebody beside you and you say, well, they're good at this. They're good at exercising this or that. You see, we're not all alike. We're all created different. We all have different passions. We all have different things that as we fulfill them and do them, that bring a sense of belonging, that bring a sense of accomplishment, it feels like we're serving, and it's rewarding. And I think it should be like that. But you see, what there are some things that maybe are rewarding to me and that I notice and I pay attention to that are maybe very different from what you pay attention to or maybe what catches your eye and needs to be done. And so there's a variety of gifts, and the larger the congregation or the people that you interact with, the more maybe different gifts that there are. They're scattered throughout the congregation. And so we all are different. We're not the same. And we fulfill our passions in different ways. I'm going to look at a scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. And we're going to go through the scripture. I'm going to read the parts that aren't highlighted. I want you to read the highlighted parts in unison, okay? And begin to think about what is the theme or what is being repeated in this scripture. Now, there are diversities of gifts, and there are differences of administrations,
but the same Lord.
And there are diversities of operations,
but it is the same God,
which worketh all and in all. And so this scripture mentions a lot of the same gifts, spiritual gifts that we read about in Romans. But yet I find it interesting that he says there are different gifts, but they're still the same Spirit. There are different administrations, but they're still the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but they're still the same God. And so even though we all practice and exercise different gifts and fulfill different parts as a church body, there's still the same Spirit, the same Lord, and the same God that are over all those gifts. And all those gifts that we are doing and fulfilling down here, God is still over top of them. He's still in control of all of them. We do them through His grace, through His blessing, His gifting to us. That doesn't change. The next verse, chapter 4, verse 7 says, and let's read it again, but the manifestation is given to every man to profit with all. You see, God's Spirit is available to all of us. There's not certain giftings that receive the Spirit and certain giftings that don't. But God's Spirit is given to all of us, and it says that it may profit with all. And so as we exercise those gifts and as we fulfill them, it doesn't profit me. You see, I don't do those things to profit myself or to make myself feel good. Yes, that is an offfall from being faithful and serving where we're called. It does bring a blessing and a and it does give us a fulfilledness. But yet that shouldn't be why we do them. The reason we should do them is because we're Spirit-filled and it profits all. It should profit the whole congregation as we fill those gifts. It's not my own little thing, but God should receive the honor and glory for that. The next three verses says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge, to another faith, to another the gifts of healing, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh, dividing to every man severally as he will." And so not only is the Spirit and Lord and God over it, and not only do we all have the Spirit available to us, but as we fulfill those gifts, there's one Spirit that leads all of us. And so that brings a unity. Even though we're practicing different things, it brings a unitedness as we fulfill those because we have one goal. And there's one reason that we do that. In Exodus, there's a scripture in chapter 9. And this is when Moses, if you remember, Moses was asked by God to go lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. And Moses said, "No, God, that's not my gift. I'm not really a speaker. It's not really my thing. I'm not a leader." And God got pretty forceful, and remember, he met Moses and asked him to lead, and really put the pressure on, right? A lot like we as people do sometimes when we're asked to do something, we say, "Well, no, that's not really my thing. I'm good at this, but what you're asking me to do over here, that's not really who I am." But God put pressure on Moses, and Moses finally agreed to lead, right? And this is in the middle of when they're having those plagues in Egypt. And they've had several plagues, and God comes to Moses, and he says, "Moses, you need to go and tell Pharaoh." This was part of what he was supposed to tell Pharaoh. Now, Pharaoh is Egypt, right? And so this is a wicked nation, an ungodly nation. And yet he says, "And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up." And he's speaking to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. "For to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth." And so he's telling Pharaoh, the reason you're here on earth is to show my power and that my name may be declared. If God wants to use Pharaoh and Egypt to declare his name, don't you think he wants to use Sandy Ridge? Don't you think he wants to use us as people to declare his name, to show his power to others around us? And we do that as we exercise our gifts. And the things that God has blessed us with are talents, you may say, or the things that the responsibilities that God gives us. I believe it's important to look at it as a way of bringing glory to God, as a way to declare his name throughout all the earth. If God wants to do it in Egypt, doesn't he want to do it much more today at Sandy Ridge and through my life to declare himself, his power, and his glory to others around us? So I have two tools here, and these are just common tools, and I'm going to ask the boys here, what do these two tools, even though they're very different, one's a power tool and this one here is not a power tool, right? What do these have in common? What do these both do? Okay, so they fasten something together, right? You can fasten two things together. So how does this one fasten something, Jerry? It screws it in, right? And so it rotates and fastens it. And how does this fasten something? It pounds it in, right? Now, can this fasten the same? Can you use a screw and fasten it with this? Well, when I was a boy building a treehouse, he could. If I couldn't find Dad's nails, I'd just grab whatever I wanted, right? And you can, right? But it's not really designed for that. And this for sure can't use the fasteners that this one does, right? And so they have, even though they accomplish the same thing, right? You can fasten two boards together, they accomplish it in a different way, right? And so we can't quite interchange the two different things. Now, Josh, I assume you have probably two tools, something like this. They may be different color, right? They're the same. Okay. Josh has good taste. So, Josh, you're in construction, and you know the value of both of these. So, I wouldn't think it's necessary that you have both. Which would you rather do without? Do without the drill. So, you're going to put my steel on my building with the hammer. So you'd rather get rid of this and have the, if you had to do without one, you'd rather for sure have this, right? So Eric Berkshire, you are in construction also. Eric installs cabinets and trim. And so do you have somewhat the same tools, the two? Yeah. So which one, if you had to get rid of one, which one would you get rid of? Get rid of the hammer. So this one's more important. So now we have some discrepancy here because we have two people who have both have important jobs, they're both in construction industry, but they're giving me conflicting answers, right? Is one more important than the other? Probably value, they're a lot more, this one's a lot more valuable. You can pick this one up for probably $20, but you're not going to touch one of these for $20. So it's more valuable, but yet Josh would prefer this versus this. You see, they both fill an important purpose, but they're different purposes. And so we can't really do without one or the other, right? Josh probably says, well, yeah, I could do without it, but I would sure like to have both of them. And Eric says the same thing because, you see, once he gets the cabinet installed and he puts the trim on, he has to set the nails and tap them in, and you can't really tap a nail in with this, and you have to set it with a hammer. And so they both serve important roles. And I think that's what we need to be aware of in the church, is that there are different gifts. There are different things that we exercise. And let's be careful that we don't put an importance on one over the other. They're fulfilling different purposes. They're given by the same God. They're filled. We're all filled with the same Spirit. There's the same purpose. We still should have the same end goal. But we're getting there in different ways. I serve in one way. I have a gift that I exercise in a certain way. You may have a total opposite gift, a different gift. But yet, overall, we have the same end goal in mind. Number two, appreciate our different gifts. The different gifts in the church, do we appreciate them? How do we do that? How do we appreciate those different gifts? I have three suggestions. Number one is compliment others. And so maybe you're not a finance guy, or maybe you don't enjoy numbers, but we have men here who thrive on that and serve on our finance committee. And after we take the offering, they go back and count that money. Give them a compliment. Thank them for doing that. Tell them, thank you for being organized, for at the annual meeting bringing a presentation of how the money was spent, making it easy for me to read. I don't enjoy that, but you do well at that. So give compliments. Ladies, maybe it's the sewing committee. Maybe you can encourage them for organizing well when the ladies get together to do certain things, or Christmas caroling, whatever it may be. Find ways to compliment other people in the ways that they're serving, the way that they're using their gifts. Learn from others. If you're asked to do something and you don't know how to do it, learn from others. So go tap somebody on the shoulder and say, hey, When you did Christmas caroling last year, it went really smooth. What did you do? How did you do that? And people will typically be very willing to help teach you. And maybe they have a gift of organizing and leading. And maybe that's not your strength, and maybe you can learn from them. And so learn from others. Third one is value others. Value others rather than looking at the things that I'm involved with, the things that I have a passion for, and thinking that that is the most important thing in the church, is that the yard is nice and green and doesn't have any weeds. Maybe focus on what others, how they serve or lead, or maybe they spend time with people, caring for them, showing mercy to others. Value them and understand that without them, there would be a gap in that area of gifting and service. And encourage them in that. And recognize that it's because of them that this body is complete. It's not just what I do, but it's as we work together that the body is complete and fulfills what we need to in the church. So maybe we say, well, why are we so different? Why did God make us so different? Why can't we just all be the same? Couldn't God have just given us all the same giftings and we could just all, you know, we would just appreciate one another because I would enjoy what you do and you would serve as I do. And why does God have such diversity in the church? I have three scriptures here. I wonder if I could get three volunteers to look up those verses and be ready to read them. The first one, 1 Peter 3:8. Brent, 1 Peter 3:8. 1 Peter 2:17. 2:17, and then Romans 12, verse 10. Marlon. So why are we so different? And I'm going to suggest the first, maybe one of the reasons may be to meet the different needs in the church. You know, we are all different people. Not only do we have different giftings, we have different needs. And some of us have needs of fellowship, and we were very aware of that in the last couple months as we lacked the fellowship. People like me, I enjoy being with people, and so I look forward to getting together and rubbing shoulders and communicating and just having that fellowship. Other people don't have that need as much as I do, maybe. So there are different needs in the church. 1 Peter 3:8. So we have different needs, and we fill those in different ways. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion on one another. You see, as we meet those different needs in church, I have to be not only compassionate, but aware of those needs around me, to love others, to be courteous, to reach out to others around us in the church. Meeting the needs in the church. The second one, to show the world God's love. 1 Peter 2:17. You know, he gives us a list of authorities there and how we're supposed to relate to them. And as I think of the church, what a testimony to the world when the church cares for its own. You see, if we don't care for our own, if we don't love the people around us who are in the same body as we are, and the world sees that, why would they want to be a part of that? If they see us bickering, if they see us having a lot of just conflict and speaking ill of others in the church, the world looks at that and says, I've already got that where I'm at. Why would I want to join a church that is constantly just grinding against each other, who don't love well? So I think as we care for one another, we show the world God's love. Third one, a focus on others brings joy. Romans chapter 12, 10. In honor, preferring one another. You see, when I prefer my brother over myself, and I see his needs, and I'm willing to care for them, And they become a first priority in my life instead of me trying to fill my own needs and wants and desires. There's a joy that comes out of that in serving others. There's a blessing that comes out of focusing on others. In fact, often my own troubles and the things I'm going through are minimized because I'm focusing on other people. I'm serving. I'm giving to them. The fourth one, God is a creative God. I don't know, if you look out and just look in nature, God enjoys so much creativity. And I think when God created people, He said, let's have them be different. I want each of them to serve me in a different way. I would enjoy having this person serve me in this way and experiencing this person serving me in this way. And I think in my own mind here, I'm just thinking God is such a creative God. He enjoys us worshiping Him in different ways and serving Him in different ways. And in the middle of that, there is someone who's working against us. You know, Satan loves to use different opinions, ideas, and goals to destroy a church. And I think we realize that Satan's goal is to destroy each one of us. But once we've made a commitment and are trying to do what's right, and we come into the church, and now we're working together, Satan has to change his tactic. And so we've made a commitment. What's the next step? What's the best way to create conflict and discouragement and to pull people apart? Is to start getting that group that is relating closely, wanting to do what's right, wanting to serve God, wanting to have a single focus, allowing that one, we all want to allow that spirit to work in us. What a better way than to start turning them against each other, right? And suddenly, these parts that should be working together towards one goal begin to grate a little bit. And I feel tension. And I feel unrest. And I start thinking, well, if the people around me would just get it and do their part or think like I would, right? And that allows Satan a foothold in the church to begin breaking down that brotherhood that we really all desire to have, but yet we allow him to work in us and to create conflict that destroys really bringing honor and glory to God and serving him and bringing glory to his name in all the earth. Number three, applying our different gifts. How do we apply those gifts that we are given? Number one, serving when called. And so when we're asked to do something, being willing to do it. Being willing to doing it, to do it. Even when maybe it's not my first desire or something that I really enjoy doing, right? But I see some of you serving so well, and it's such a blessing to when we have a chorus coming of 40, 50 people, and we call the food committee people and say, hey, we're going to have a chorus such and such a night. Would you be willing to provide food? Yes. What do you need? How many people are there? That is such a blessing. I see some of you doing, a lot of you just doing really well with that and serving in that capacity, organizing lodging for groups like that, having snacks after church and doing, that takes a lot of work, and I realize that. And some of you do really well at that, and I bless you for that. That is a gift that just creates a bond in the brotherhood and just working together is such a blessing. Serving when I see a need, and so not always waiting to be asked, but seeing that something needs to be done. Somebody needs to step up here. We need somebody to do this or that, and being willing to say, hey, I'll do that. That goes against our Mennonite nature a little bit, right? So we think we can't do it unless we're asked. But being willing to serve where there's a need. You know, serving where needed brings value to God's kingdom. And so not just fulfilling and serving in the things that I just enjoy or maybe do well at, but serving outside of those. And so it expanding my own giftings, I think, is possible, even though it may not be my primary gift to exercise and show mercy to others or to lead or whatever it may be, but dabbling in those and learning how to do them, how to serve well, brings a value to God's kingdom. When you have an employee that can do multiple things, not only can they do weld, but they can also sweep the floor well, and they can clean up after themselves, and they can and do this and that and the other, and they can organize people around them well, that employee becomes a very valuable employee because they can do multiple things. See, God's kingdom is the same way. When we as people can do multiple things and we can serve in multiple ways, it brings value to the church. It brings value to the kingdom as we serve. Allow others to serve in their capacity. When others are available and willing and able, allow them to serve as they can, and let them fulfill their giftings and serve the church, serve others as they can, not keeping things from them. There's a scripture in Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, that says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Well, he's saying whatever you do, doesn't matter what you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. You see, when I'm serving out of that passion, out of that, if that's what drives me, is to follow God, to do what He's asking me to do, it changes the whole reason, the whole desire, or the whole drive to do something. Do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It allows Christ to have the benefit of it, or the I'm not doing it for my own selfish desires or to fulfill a need, but it points back to Christ and allows Him that glory. Verse 22 through 24, the same chapter says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." Doing things not to be seen, but doing them because it's the right thing to do, because I'm serving God. It's not about me. I don't do it to be seen, but I do it so God can be seen. I point back to God, that others see God through the way that I live my life. Three things. One, acknowledge our different gifts. We are different. We are all different. And the larger the group that we're with, the more diversity there is often. Number two, appreciate our different gifts. God is glorified by the different gifts that we offer. I believe there's nothing more sweet to God than to see a group of believers who have different giftings coming together, worshiping, working together in unity and harmony, and serving well. Number three, applying our different gifts. Faithfully serve where God calls you. I don't know where that's at this morning. Where has God called you? What is He asking you to do? What capacity are you asked to serve in the church? Be faithful where God has called you. And many of you are. And I'm like I said, I'm blessed by that, and I'm encouraged in it, and I enjoy seeing you serve well. The other week we had a church meeting here, and I appreciate what some of you shared. And it was, they're just good thoughts, and I enjoy seeing the brotherhood come together, and even though sometimes we maybe have different opinions, bringing those all together and expressing them in a way that is kind and is upbuilding to the church. We are called to glorify God as a brotherhood, serving in different ways. Let's glorify Him. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Lord, we're grateful for this day. Lord, thank you for the different gifts that you've given us as a church here. Lord, thank you for the many who are so faithful in fulfilling those and serving you. Lord, I pray a blessing on them. Lord, help us to work together. Help us to honor one another, to appreciate one another and the gifts that you've given to us. Lord, I pray that as we offer those gifts, that they would be a sweet-smelling sacrifice to you. Lord, I pray that you would receive the honor and glory for them. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.